Uncertainty rules.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Investors are treading very cautiously to start the new year. They see signs of a slowing economy, plus $100 oil, and wonder what is coming next. Within the hour, we'll get the latest U.S. job numbers. Those could certainly shift the mood one way or the other. In Japan today, a big thumbs down. In the first day of trading for the year, the Nikkei fell 4% to its lowest close in 18 months. As for Wall Street, the Dow starts the day at 13,056. It gained 12 points yesterday. The Nasdaq fell 6 to 2602. The S&P 500 was flat. In Europe this morning, shares are mixed so far. So Democrat Barack Obama and Republican Mike Huckabee head into the New Hampshire primary next week as the front runners. But last night's Iowa caucuses were just the first step in a long road for the presidential candidates. Marketplace will, of course, be covering the race from a business perspective. What is it the business community wants from the next president? We have this report from Danielle Carson in Washington.
Corporate America's top priority is simple: sustain a vibrant economy. To do that, business leaders say the next president needs to do a number of things, including
making sure we have a competitive tax policy.
That's John Castellani. He heads the Business Roundtable that represents the CEOs of U.S. companies worth more than $4 trillion.
And making sure that we have a sound energy policy that has the right emphasis on conservation, the production of oil and gas, and the production and development of alternative supplies.
Castellani says mushrooming health care costs are also hurting business. Some candidates advocate expanding health care coverage, and that's good, says Michael Deagle with the National Federation of Independent Business, except for one thing.
We are telling our candidates we can't help with coverage until small business owners have some help with controlling costs.
Business leaders say it's time to put the partisanship aside and actually fix problems. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Are the presidential candidates addressing your concerns? Let us know at marketplace.org. Just click on Election 2008. The Fox Business Channel began its first broadcast with a reporter standing outside the headquarters of rival CNBC. The reporter said it was hunting season. But so far, Fox really hasn't bagged anything. Nielsen says the channel is getting about 6,000 viewers on any given weekday. CNBC lands 280,000 viewers a day. But these are early numbers. The Fox Business Channel has only been on the air since mid-October. You're listening to the Morning Report for Friday, January 4th on Marketplace.org. The stock market in Kenya was open again today, but it could shut down at a moment's notice. Violence and political unrest forced the market to close yesterday. The World Bank says the turmoil in Kenya is already rattling neighboring economies. And sadly, it's eroding recent gains that have made Kenya the economic hub of Eastern Africa. Gretchen Wilson has more.
America's top diplomat for Africa arrives in Kenya today, part of an international effort to mediate a political solution and get East Africa's strongest economy back on track. GDP is growing at nearly 7% a year. Business confidence is on the rise, and there's a fast-growing middle class. But last week's contested presidential election has sparked the worst unrest in decades. Hundreds have been killed in political and ethnic violence, and more than 100,000 people have fled their homes. Shops have been looted of food and fuel. Road and rail transportation are slow, and that's hampering trade. Businesses say they're losing about $30 million a day. The knock-on economic effects may be huge. Take tourism, one of the country's biggest industries. Britain has warned against non-essential travel to Kenya, and British tour operators are suspending all trips for the next 2 days. I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
In this country, seven states started a new registry this week for mortgage brokers. It's modeled on one for stockbrokers, and it's aimed at stopping the kind of abuses that came to light in the subprime fiasco. 35 other states have committed to joining the registry. Steve Tripoli reports.
Banks and credit unions used to originate most mortgages, but in recent years, non-bank brokers have grabbed most of the business nationwide. Dennis Zeroli is a Rhode Island banking regulator. He says state-regulated brokers targeted by the new registry could be a slippery lot.
What we found was when you found an unethical loan originator in a company, they would leave that company and end up someplace else, and there was really no way to trace them.
By March 31st, all brokers will have to sign up with the first 7 states in the registry, and by next January, they'll have to be licensed and background checked. Fail any of those tests, and Zeroli says the registry will let regulators nationwide know it.
I think we all have the same goal, and that's to have a seamless supervisory process over originators in general so they don't move across state lines. That'll weed those people out that sometimes fall through the cracks right now.
There'll be penalties for both non-complying brokers and their employers, and congressional Democrats are pushing even tighter standards. I'm Steve Tripoli from Marketplace.
It snowed in Florida yesterday. Just flurries, but still, it doesn't happen very often. Temperatures have been in the teens this week. And anytime it gets that cold in Florida, farmers aren't getting much sleep. We don't know yet how much damage some crops might have taken, like strawberries and vegetables, but it looks like citrus growers might have escaped this time. Dan Gretsch reports from the Sunshine State.
It's been a long 2 days for Florida orange growers. Andrew Meadows is with the Florida Citrus Mutual, a trade organization with 8,000 members.
I know we had some growers out there who pulled all-nighters and kept track of the temperature in their groves, so it definitely creates anxiety.
Some growers tried to protect plants by spraying them with water that freezes. This created a frozen shell that insulated the temperature at 32 degrees. In the end, Meadows says it looks like Florida dodged a bullet.
Fortunately, you know, last night's cold snap was accompanied by some winds about 10 to 12 miles an hour, and that helps mitigate frost. So that certainly helped us pull through.
Florida's last freeze in 1997 raised the price and decreased the availability of oranges. That proved to be a boon for clementines. They found a large market in the U.S. that year for the first time. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
The Food and Drug Administration has spent several years looking at whether food from cloned animals is safe to eat. This morning's Wall Street Journal says the FDA finally has a decision, and it's a yes. The journal says the FDA could declare cloned meat and milk safe by next week. A lot of people are going to have problems with this. A few consumer groups are against it, some people in Congress, and the European Union isn't sure there's enough evidence yet. But there's a group of biotech companies that are all for it. They've already been experimenting with cloning animals. We could have a different issue with cheese from Italy. Strangely, this has to do with garbage on the streets of Naples, the birthplace of pizza. The city is filling up with garbage. The people of Naples have been burning it this week. And that's where the cheese comes in. Bear with me. We're joined by our correspondent in Rome, Megan Williams. Megan, let's start with the trash. Why is it piling up?
Well, it's a story that goes back at least 10 years. The mafia owns Naples, right? It controls the whole city. Garbage is one aspect of it. So northern Italy has been, you know, literally dumping its garbage in and around Naples. And a big reason for this is that the Camorra, which is the Naples mafia, it's been making a lot of money by just accepting garbage from all over the country. And now all of the garbage dumps are full. So there's no place for the garbage to go for local people. So people are incredibly frustrated, and also out of fear from spreading disease, they've started to set fire to the garbage. And that's caused a whole other problem.
And this is garbage on the streets.
This is garbage on the street. This is garbage in ditches, caves, abandoned fields, you name it. Any space that people can find to put their garbage.
And what problem is it causing?
Well, that's the other tragic element in the whole story, because they're burning plastic and it's releasing toxic waste into the air, which of course goes into the water system, which goes into the grass. And one of the biggest, healthiest industries in and around Naples is milk, butter, cheese producing. I mean, all of the world's mozzarella cheese comes from around Naples. And so There's huge concern in Italy that the mozzarella cheese is toxic now, and the sales have dropped. I mean, friends in Rome, nobody's buying mozzarella anymore. Everybody's saying, no, don't buy it, even though health agencies in Italy are saying, well, if the crisis continues, yes, it's a concern, but it's really not a concern now. But there's just too much economic interest at stake for people to be trusting what public health officials are saying.
Has anyone outside of Italy brought attention to this, like the European Union or the U.S. that might be importing mozzarella?
Yes, the European Union is actually suing Italy to try and get the problem under control. But so far, the Italian government has not been able to bring the mafia to its knees, really anywhere in the country, but particularly in Naples. It's a city that's completely controlled by the Camorra.
Okay, Megan Williams reporting from Rome. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.